Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today's date is Thursday, June 17th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 65. We're reading the first paragraph and two examples of the inventory that shows up below it, starting with on our grudge list and ending with personal relationships, self-esteem, and fear. Today's readers are Audrey M.P., sorry about that, for the 12 Steps, Adele R. for the 12 Traditions, Leslie M., Pam M., Brandy M., MMM, and Mary B. will welcome newcomers at the end of the meeting, and Shelley E. will close us out with some announcements. The reference number for today for today's 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting, today's reference number for the 10 a.m. meeting, I'm going to start this all over again. Please forgive me. I have a note I need to cross out on here, and it confused me. Okay. Thank you for your grace and patience. The reference number for yesterday's 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Wednesday, June 16th, is 17164. That's 17,164. And the reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting for Thursday, June 17th, is 17168. That's 17,168. Phew. OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Audrey M.P. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Team Thursday. Thank you, Elaine B., Audrey M.P., grateful recovering compulsive overeater from Southern California. And these are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we are powerless over food and that our lives have become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer, meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Audrey M.P. And I'll now ask Adele R. to please read the 12 traditions.
Hi, good morning. I'm Adele R., gratefully recovered compulsive overeater. These are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Thank you so much for your service, Adele R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery that are described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, and then we stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we do ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what we're reading. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted using star 1 on your phone, please. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter How It Works on page 65, reading paragraph 1 and two examples of the resentment inventory. And I'll ask Leslie M. to please begin reading for us.
Good morning, Elaine. Thank you for your service. My name is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name our injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal or sexual relations which had been interfered with? We were usually as definite as this example. I'm resentful at Mr. Brown, his attention to my wife, affects my sex relations, self-esteem, fear. Told my wife of my mistress, affects my sex relations, self-esteem, fear. Brown may get my job at the office, security, self-esteem, fear. Mrs. Jones, she's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband for drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. Personal relationship, self-esteem, fear. This is an example of the first three columns of the worksheet on the fourth step. And I needed to be as specific as this is. And it's interesting, but it's also I need to be precise. The purpose of this is not for me to get someone else to agree with me, to see how horrible this person or thing, place or thing has been to me. It's to put it down on paper and to see it realistically. But I need to only put the bullet points. I don't need to have long explanations. I just need to get to the crux of the matter. And one set of instructions I got from a sponsor as I was working through this in the Big Book was, what are the things that I think of now that would cause me to eat? And that anything that I thought of at that point should go on my resentment list. So for me, I'm one of seven kids, so I have five sisters and one brother. But I have one sister who was a big entry on my resentment list. And so I'm just going to give a little example of how I would do it with her, of the first three columns. I'm resentful at Maureen. The causes. 1 year she got me in the grab bag for Christmas and she didn't give me a gift. She would never send me a Christmas card. She would just hand it to me on Christmas. And over the years, many other things. And what did that affect for me? It always affected my self-esteem, my personal relations. And is there any fear involved? You know, for me, there was always fear involved. And I have to look at that, at my resentments, and see, you know, where those things what those things are causing me. This is, you know, my inventory. So I have to look at the things that cause me to think about, for me, the food. So I'm grateful to know that, you know, I see that a lot of things, you know, as others have talked about, I see that a lot of things for me were surrounded with fear. I was a people pleaser. I wanted people to like me. So I wanted to give them what I thought they wanted. But it was really, in the end, it was, you know, it was manipulation. It was so that I could get what I wanted out of the interaction, out of the relationship. And, you know, I have to really take a look at that every day to see, you know, what my relationships mean to me and what am I willing to do, you know. And this has started to get me to the point where I can look at my own thing, at my own part of this. But at this point, I am just looking at those things that when I think of them, it caused me to want to eat. You know, these are the things, these are the feelings, the uncomfortable feelings that I wanted to cover up, that I didn't want to feel, because a close friend of mine says, I'm not wired for feelings. I didn't know how to do feelings. And, you know, that was what I thought the reason I ate. In the end, I'm a compulsive overeater of the hopeless variety. And I know that the reason that I eat is because I have an allergy of the body and I have an obsession of the mind. And that obsession of the mind continued me to sit in all these resentments, so that I would just get them, they would be bigger and bigger. And the more I talked about them, the righter I got and the wronger the other person got. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much, Audrey M. I'm sorry, Leslie M. We've got lots of M's today. Leslie M., thank you very much. That was a great start to the share, and I can't wait to hear other people who would like to comment on this. And though we value your experience, we do ask you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, please press star 1 to unmute and let me know you'd like to share. Anybody want to share? Star 1 to unmute.
Bruce E.
Bruce E.
Kara L.
Roz G.
Kara L. Roz G.
Shawnee B.
Anybody else? I have Bruce E., Kara L., Roz G., Shawnee B. Anybody else want to get in this lineup? All right. Well, let's start with this. Bruce E., followed by Kara L., then Roz G., and Shawnee B. Please go ahead, Bruce.
This is Bruce E. Yeah, the only reason I jumped in is I hate silences. No, I really want to share on this. And thank you for everybody on the line. Thanks that I get to share here. I notice here that, well, the first time I heard this, or I read this, first time or two or three or four times I read this through, I thought, oh, this is kind of weird. You know, I don't know if I can sort of relate to all of this. And I even heard somebody at a seminar go through this, and then I got acclimated to it. And now I think it's outstanding. I think this is a tremendous page in the big book. And I notice here that self-esteem, it mentions self-esteem first. And self-esteem is affected in most of these relationships, or a lot of these relationships. And I don't even know for sure why that is. I mean, I had my self-esteem beat up so bad all my life and or didn't have any, that it probably would be, it could be related to every one of these. But I don't know who the guy is that Bill's talking about here, or if he just sort of made this one up. But whatever he did, he gave us an outstanding, some outstanding examples of how this guy's character defects, you know, what this is all about. And I can really understand that this guy's in big trouble, right? I mean, the guy that this is about, he's in big trouble. He's in trouble with Mr. Brown, Mrs. Jones, his employer, and so forth. He's in trouble with everybody all the way down. God, no wonder the guy's an alcoholic or a food addict, you know. But anyway, he's got problems with Mr. Brown because of his tension to his wife. There he's in big trouble on that. When he's told his wife of his mistress, now he's in bigger trouble. And Brown may get his job at the office. So the guy's going to lose his job. He's probably going to lose his wife. He's in trouble because she knows about the mistress. And yeah, well, it affects his sex relations. Self-esteem is in there, and fear. And fear is bracketed next to self-esteem. So those two must go hand in hand. And again, on the mistress part of it, again, self-esteem and then fear. And so looking at me, like I heard in the introductory conversation here on this, is that with my brother, I had to look at, you know, what it was. So I could put my brother there, my brother, Charles, all right, that's my physical blood brother, and he beat me up all the time, you know. I mean,
gentle
he beat
reminder.
Me up emotionally. Oh, thank you. And it always affected my self-esteem and fear, you know, all the time. So I had to really look at it. I could relate to it very well. So thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Brucey. Kara L., you're up next, followed by Roz G. Please go ahead, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara, recovered compulsive overeater from California. Thank you for everybody's doing service today on this meeting. And the fourth step, you know, one of the things I really like, I have written down here is basic instincts. So what are you going to take away from me? That's, you know, I'm protecting that with, you know, that when myself is involved and I'm in self, that's my thought. You know, all I can concern is with me and what you're going to do to me. And when I look at this list and I sit down with my higher power and I say, okay, God, you know, show me, you know, where I am in self. Help me to, you know, just see it. And when, you know, when I work in the fourth step, I'm just laying out those things that are blocking me from higher power. What's keeping me in self? Of keeping me distant from the power that's going to take care of me. You know, what, you know, and it is, I love how simple and straightforward this is. Who is it? You know, very few words. I don't need a whole long story. Just tell me, you know, look and see what I see for myself of what is blocking me from a higher power, right? And then I can begin to move forward to clear those things. Then I can, you know, the next step is tell someone and then ask my higher power for help. You know, my higher power, I'd like to say, these things are blocking me from you and I need help. And then I get to clean up any messes I made, right? And it's such a beautiful, straightforward thing. And when I take me out of it and I just get it down on paper, I just follow what this book says. Life clears up. It's kind of miraculous that way. And I'm really grateful for it today. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Kara L. Roz G., you are up next, and you'll be followed by Shawnee B. Hey, Roz.
Good morning, Elaine and everybody. Good morning. My name's Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm sorry for my dog canting really loud, but I'm in Palmdale, California. And so in my book here, this one of my latest books here, I try to keep a fresh big book around. The recent notes I have are on the grudge list and grudge. So I wrote synonyms to grudge: grievance, resentment, bitterness, rancor, dissatisfied. Because, of course, the first time around, the big tuna, the shark resentments came out, but as time passes by, maybe I don't have such huge ones. And just the other day, I was in a yoga class, and this woman was in front of me, and she wasn't following any of the poses that the instructor was doing. She was doing her own version of yoga. And she had long hair, and her hair was getting on my mat, and I got resentful. In the past, I would have never written about that or done a 10-step on that. I would have ignored it. But, I'm so clear with my feelings today that even if it's a little annoyance like that, I need to do something about it because it's going to fester. And when it comes to this list here, I used to be an assistant manager in a fast food restaurant, and I stole some of the cash, like the petty cash, the extra stuff for gas money. I mean, I'm so ashamed of that, but yeah, I did that. And long time ago, but I did it. And they didn't like me very much there. I didn't want to work. I wanted to talk on the phone during work. I resented the teenage customers. I thought I was too good to serve teenagers, and I'd be on the phone, and the workers would be, making the food and looking at me like I was insane, and I was looking at them like, what are you looking at? But, oh, God, how, when I looked at my part, we're not really talking about that right now, but it's like, how dare you, tell me what I'm not doing? I'm the manager. And, how dare you tell me that you're going to write me up and that you're going to put me on an action plan? Because I took money, they didn't know I took money, but because I wasn't doing my job when I was supposed to be doing my job. And yeah, it affected my security because I wanted a paycheck, because that's basically all I worked for in my earlier days before program was just a paycheck. So to see these horrible things about myself and what they were affecting in my early life really opened my eyes to, the major resentments and character defects that came out of it all. And today I live by spiritual principles, and I try to keep others happy. And I'll wrap up. I try to keep others' happiness uppermost in mind, but I remember that it can simply be just somebody not following my script. Whew. Okay, thank you, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Roz G. Shawnee B., you're up next, and then we'll take another lineup on people. They're commenting on page 65, paragraph 1, which starts with on our grudge list, and goes through two examples straight across the page, ending with Mrs. Jones and personal relationship, self-esteem, and fear. Please share with us, Shawnee B.
Hi, can I be heard?
Yes, you sound great.
Okay. So I had wanted to share on this, and then I was like, well, I don't know, this is not like such a popular opinion, but I thought perhaps my experience, Strength and Hope, as working this program could perhaps help someone. I know that, when we do the fourth step, we first see what parts of ourselves have been affected, what parts of ourselves have been hurt. And when I first worked my fourth step, I was very, and then we go to our defects. When I first worked my fourth step, I was very consumed with the, just the intensity of shame that came up for me around, oh, wow, I always knew I was such a horrible person. Now it's like confirmed. And obviously, we speak to fellows, and I had a sponsor that was very loving and compassionate, but still knowing, which was that, like, that real intense toxic shame, which really allowed me to know, this is confirmed. I mean, look at this. You've got pages upon pages of all the defects of character. I happen to have really kind of gone deeper over the past few years and really came to understand that, yes, the work that we do in this fourth step does help us to begin uncovering a lot of our past and a lot of, I would say, instead of calling it a character defect, really a coping mechanism. And when I began to see that there was a girl that had been struggling for years and years to cope, to really stay alive, to really be able to function one day at a time, I have just been filled with so much compassion for her and even more so for my fellows. I want to say even more so for myself as well as my fellows. And so I want to just encourage anyone on the line that does find this somewhat maybe punitive or uncomfortable or almost, you know, oh, wow, like, you know, this program actually agrees. Like, I am a total shithead. It's really, in my experience, it was just the beginning of uncovering just the humility and the ultimate light, the spiritual light that I received from my higher power, by realizing that there was just so much that I didn't know. There was so much that hurt. There was so much pain. And this is really, I find that this is like the initial process of us really getting to almost re-experience a new world for ourselves by really seeing what needs, but with our higher powers help, what we need to put to the side and to reawaken within ourselves the purity that was always there.
Reminder.
Thank you. With that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Shani B. Okay, though we value your experience, we do ask that you share your limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since Monday, we would really love to hear from you. Please press star 1 to unmute and give me your name.
Terry F.
M.
Terry F. I heard somebody M.
Catherine N.
Catherine N.
Marlo.
Hold on just a second. Okay, I heard Terry F., Catherine N. Catherine N., I got you, and Stephanie M., and I heard a gentleman's voice.
Carlo,
okay. And what's the first initial of your last name, Carlo? We can get that when you share. Anybody else want to get in this lineup?
Sandy A.,
and I heard somebody else, Deborah, was it?
Deborah V. As in
Deborah Victoria. V. Okay, lovely. Wow, that's a great lineup. I have Terry S., Catherine N., I believe, Stephanie M., Carlo, Sandy A., and Deborah V. Woohoo! All right. So Terry S., please go ahead, and you'll be followed by Catherine N. And if you're not Terry S., please press star 1 to mute your phone. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. This is Terry S. in Oregon, recovering food addict. And, I didn't expect to share today, but anyway, God gave me a nudge. What I wanted to share is I've done many, many fourth steps, and I've learned a few things about it. First of all, trust the process. When I first saw the fourth step, and I'm supposed to put all these people down, I immediately said, oh, heck no, I am not apologizing to any of these people. And my sponsor had reminded me, just do the fourth step. You're nowhere near the ninth step yet. So stop jumping ahead. The other thing I think is particularly important for me to remember is I often said, well, I'm not angry. I don't do anger. And I had some very wise teachers point out that that also includes irritability, being annoyed, thinking about something constantly that I can't let go of. So even though there's not a lot of strong feeling because I've stopped I stuffed it for so many years, when I looked at, oh, that does annoy me, or yes, that does irritate me, that's a resentment. And what I love about Bill's example is he keeps it very simple, but he also forces me to write down exactly in some very brief terms why I'm thinking about this all the time, or why I'm upset or disturbed or annoyed. Because most of the time I didn't know. I just knew that I resented, you know, my boss. She irritates me. But this process forces me to sit down with pen and paper or computer or however you're going to do this and think about what exactly has caused that. Where am I getting my buttons pushed? And it makes it very clear and very succinct. And when I get in that process, and I'm told by people that have gone ahead of me in OA, just do it. This really is the step where we're starting to take action. The first three steps are to prepare you for the action of the rest of the 12 steps. And if you don't do it, you're not going to recover, is what I was told. And that's been proven to be correct for me. So if you're facing your fourth step,
reminder.
Thanks. Just get on with it and make a start. So with that, I will pass, and everybody have a great day.
Thank you very much, Terry S. I'm glad you got the nudge to share. Catherine N., you are up next, followed by Stephanie M. Please go ahead, Catherine.
Hi, this is Catherine N. In Virginia. I've done a number of four steps over my career in OA, and I'm actually in the middle of doing one right now. And the whole process was just so eye-opening for me. You know, I was running around wreaking havoc or you know, just always, you know, thinking of myself and how everyone else was doing. They were just doing what they were doing, and I was always looking at, you know, how it was affecting me, or that was the viewpoint I came from. And so I'm just really thankful that, you know, I've been able to uncover things, you know, about myself that has really, you know, helped me to change and to grow. And, you know, all the different aspects that have are affected by these resentments that I have, they are, what happens is I'm giving my power to these, you know, to these people, these resentments. And what, you know, doing the fourth step does is it really allows the power of God to you know, give these back to me, or for me to get them, you know, back, like the self-esteem and the, you know, security and so forth. I mean, you know, what I'm finding is that how these resentments hurt me, and and the bottom line is, why was I affected? Why did these things hurt me? It's because these people didn't do what I wanted them to do. And that was very, you know, that was very eye-opening. And the other thing is, you know, where it talks about self-esteem, you know, fears in brackets. And, you know, it doesn't necessarily say that, you know, with security or with the sex relations or personal relationships, But for me, fear is, you know, that corroding thread that underlies all of my, all that's affected. And, you know, back to, you know, I'm not going to, things aren't going to go my way. You know, people aren't going to follow
just
my script.
Reminder.
Thank you. With that, I pass.
Well, thank you very much, Catherine M. Stephanie M., you're up next, followed by Carlo. Please go ahead, Stephanie.
Hi, this is Stephanie M. in California. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I wanted to share because the first time I read this, and I think it's other people have experienced this too, I was definitely looking for the differences. And with the whole big book, I was looking for the differences. I definitely remember telling my sponsor how sexist it was and how, and even with this, you know, I'm not married. I'm too young for this. I would never cheat on anyone, you know, just all of the ways that I am different and special. And my wonderful sponsor just kept nudging me to keep going. And she was right because, you know, I wanted to find the differences to prove that I'm special, that this won't work for me, that I'm a victim. And you know, my first, I've done a few fourth steps in OA, and my first one took months, and I loved it because it gave me a chance to wallow in, you know, my victimhood and also how awful I am and again, how special I am. And my most recent fourth step, I did in a week, and I highly recommend it. It was just as deep, and there were more resentments than ever. My sponsor recommended I write down anyone, especially because I'd done a few fourth steps, anyone that I wouldn't want to spend a few hours in a car with. And but the work, just being in the work nonstop for a week, there was no wallowing, there was no self-pity because I was working. And then, you know, being able to see the patterns with it all in front of me at once, you know, in such a short period of time was so valuable. And I just, you know, to any newcomers, it is so easy to see the differences and use that as a reason to leave because this is really hard work. And, you know, the gift of desperation will keep you here, and I hope it does because this really works. It's such a gift, and I'm so grateful for that desperation and for wonderful sponsors along the way who just kept pointing me back to the book and the work and God because that's where I found recovery. So I think that's all I have to say, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Stephanie M. Carlo, you are up next, followed by Sandy A. And Carlo, if you could give us a first initial of your last name, that'd be great. Carlo, star one to unmute, please.
Great. This is Carlo P.
And where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Thank you. Please go ahead.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, love the meeting. Got a great topic, the four steps. Just amazing. You know, and finally, the main thing that just came to my mind is, like, the only reason I got to the four step is because of my powerlessness and, like, really my out-of-control ego. So I think that was the point, just the really only point I want to share, because sometimes I can start to feel pretty balanced, and and it can sometimes even move into a little bit of self-righteousness when I you know, do the work or whatever. And you know, I just have to remember, like, the only reason I was here is for, like, this complete pain and desperation. So no matter how good I'm doing, it's like, it's really a gift, and it's a gift that I get to look at, that I was given something just so straight to the point to help me see my actions and how they're affecting my life and others and my addiction, and to have more or less an answer to this confusing issue. So that's all I want to say. And it's one day at a time, because it'll definitely creep back if I'm not surrounded by the right community and being honest with myself and, you know, calling, even out those little weeds that are starting to grow. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you very much, Carlo P. Sandy A., you're up next, followed by Deborah Z. Please go ahead, Sandy.
This is Sandy A. from Ohio, compulsive overeater. And I wanted to share on this because this is so me. I have the memory of an elephant, and there are advantages and disadvantages to that. One of the disadvantages of having a good memory is I hold on to grudges forever. And when I came into this program, this process, this particular chart, was very helpful to me and still is. I still use it. It's helped me put it into writing and be done with it. Now, I still need work on grudges and resentment, of course, but it's been a very useful tool. I appreciate it. And I've discovered things about myself that I didn't realize by doing that process. And I've discovered some things that I do like about myself. So it's been a very useful tool, and I'll continue to use it. OA is just so amazing, and the tools and things they give us to work with, and I appreciate it. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for your service, moderator. I pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy A. Our next share is from Deborah V, and after that, we'll have time for perhaps two more shares, maybe three. On page 65, paragraph 1, we're starting with on our grudge list and going through two examples, ending with Mrs. Jones and self-esteem and fear. So Deborah V, please share with us. Star one to unmute, Deborah.
Hi, this is Deborah V, recovered in New Jersey. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you, Deborah. Please go ahead. And if you could speak just a little louder, that would be great. Thank you.
Sure. You know, my experience with the fourth step was really, you know, a struggle because, and I want to be honest about that, I really, you know, it was an action step. It was the first time I really had to do work. And as a newcomer, I struggled with wanting to do it and couldn't really understand how it was connected to my, quote, food problem. And what I learned in doing the fourth step was that although I dragged and my sponsor continued to encourage me, when I got to the third column, I realized, you know, how clear, at least in retrospect, my theater of the lie was. You know, what I was telling myself, the narrative that I was telling myself. And as a newcomer at the time, I really didn't understand how this really impacted, quote, my food problem. And what the fourth step, after completing the fourth step and moving through the steps, did for me was really a freedom. It literally took off, you know, metaphorically, that backpack on my back that I had been carrying. And I had struggled with a lot of anger and a lot of resentment and, you know, self-righteous anger, of course. And I didn't realize how much that impacted all of these, you know, this overgrowth of emotions that were really propelling me to constantly eat as a result. So it really did give me a freedom. And I guess, you know, the best suggestion that I can give the newcomer who may be listening about the fourth step is perhaps not to follow my footsteps in that, you know, get through it quickly because the freedom comes after doing it. And of course, I was wallowing in all of it for a while and it was painful and hard. And it really did not only give me freedom, but it released me from the bondage of food. I mean, I think that's why so many of us, you know, we start doing our fourth step and we go out. And, you know, that's where we usually lose a lot of people. They say 4 and 9. And, you know, for me, it was definitely an arduous journey and I got through it, thank God. And many of us have. And I think that's the message today, that many of us do get through it. We get through these steps and we have a life that, at least I have a life that, is more than I could ever imagine. Now, Do I sometimes fall back and feel certain things about either people, places, or things? Absolutely. And I got to do that work, spot check, in my 10 step. And sometimes I've got to do more work on some of the things that I feel. Just in closing, one of the things that I put on my 4 step that was real important for me was I had to put food as something that I had resented. As much as I loved it, I resented it. And it was a real freedom for me. But anyway, I'm glad to be on. I'm glad to speak about this particular step. And I wish you all a wonderful abstinent day. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Deborah V. We have time for two-minute shares on page 65, paragraph 1, our grudge list. Who'd like to take a two-minute share?
Beth V. from north of Philadelphia.
Beth V.
V as in Victor.
Okay. And I heard one other person. Was it Kristen?
Christy.
Okay, great. Okay, Beth V. and then Christy. Please go ahead, Beth.
Thank you. This is Beth V., a grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater, living north of Philadelphia. I appreciate all I've heard today. And I am in the process of doing my 4th step with a sponsor. It's not my first 4th step. My observations at this point are that, first of all, I noticed that shrinking my resentments down to a few words and putting them in a little box on a piece of paper really helped minimize the mountain of emotion that I had attached to the resentment, to the thing, and it suddenly seemed much smaller. That was very helpful to me. Also, categorizing it with words like, how did it affect my self-esteem? How did it affect me? I didn't know before. I was confused. And to say something about it hurting my, you know, my pride made me understand it better and made me see where it belonged, not left in my head in the past, you know, something from the past. Also, you know, as I proceed through the step four and getting to my character defects, my core character defects, and I was asked to put out of my mind the wrong others had done. And there's a concept right there, the idea that I'm supposed to forget about the other person altogether and look for my mistakes in regard to it. And words like selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, all of that has really guided me along the way. And it is a process. And I would say that to clear
gentle away reminder.
Of my past, thank you. It might take more than 1 step 4, because that's what I'm discovering this time. And lastly, just a comment on the gratitude I have for my sponsor, who is gently holding me and carrying me in her heart through the process. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Okay, and Christy B. will be our final share. Please go ahead, Christy.
Well, I was going to say that I haven't been doing it for stuff in my second year doing it. I'm stalling. And I don't like the way my sponsor's telling me to do it. I prefer to do the method of the big book rather than go through 100 defects and define it. Find all the defects, and then, anyways, it's just, I think that's part why I resist it. And she keeps telling me, go deep. And I don't know. I keep on getting a new sponsor. And yet this person has known me for 5 years or 6 years. as my sponsor, and so I've been like starting all over again. So I'm trying to work on it today. If anybody's working on the four step or knows anybody who wants to have a four step buddy to kind of bookend with, if you know what that means, it's to call somebody before you did it and call somebody after you did it, so I can hold myself accountable with another person that I did it, other than the sponsor. Let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Christy B., and thank you, everybody who shared. We'll now transition the meeting by reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Pam M. please read a vision for you?
Joyously, absolutely. This is Pam M. in upstate New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.